Hello, and welcome to another VS Code live event. I'm your host, Brian Clark, and today we have some more fun for you. If you haven't noticed, we've been doing more and more of these live events, and you can keep track of when they are happening through the VS Code meetup if you'd like to check that out. In the past ones, we've done notebooks, we've done .NET interactive notebooks, and today what we have for you is one on Pylance. So if you're into Python and use VS Code to help write some of your Python code, this is the right session for you. As always, these are recorded as well, so if you don't catch all of it, maybe you missed it, or you didn't get to watch this live, you can watch the recording up on the VS Code YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/code. And I think that about does it. So let's, without further ado, let's introduce our presenters for today. We're going to be talking about Pylance, and it's Luciana and Savannah.
Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to hear about all the goodness that you have in store with Pylance.
I'm excited to tell you all about it.
Take it away.
Cool. So as Brian mentioned, I'm Savannah, and I'm joined today by Luciana, and we're both program managers on the Python team at Microsoft. And today we're going to talk to you about some of the newest and most productivity enhancing features in the Python extension for VS Code. But first, I'm going to kick things off with a couple of really exciting announcements. I think we need to screen share the deck. Oh, there we go. Wonderful. So in terms of announcements today, the first big announcement and the one that I've been kind of alluding to all week is that the Pylance language server is officially out of public preview and has reached its first stable release today. This is a huge milestone for our team. Last June, we released our public preview of Pylance and received both praise and, constructive feedback from the community, which has helped guide our work over the last year. And so I would just like to thank all of our users for providing that feedback. Very exciting. In that same vein, earlier this week, we announced that the Python extension's default language support is now powered by Pylance, providing what we believe is the most performant and user-friendly language Python editing experience for Visual Studio Code ever. So this means that Pylance now comes right out of the box with the core Python extension and no separate install is needed. So at this point, if you're unfamiliar with Pylance or you haven't been following along, you might be wondering, well, what is Pylance? Why do I care about Pylance? Why would I want to use Pylance? And so Pylance, you can really just think of as kind of this provider of all of the great development features that you already know and love, plus a couple more. And so those are things like completion, syntax highlighting, doc strings, code navigation, et cetera. But why is Pylance different than other language servers or other language support in other editors or IDEs? So Pylance doesn't do any upfront analysis of your code base. I think people are pretty familiar with the experience of opening up their editor and having to wait some time for the editor to kind of process their project before they get all of those great features and can actually get to writing code. Pylance is different because we don't do that analysis upfront. And so we're faster and also use less memory in the process. And additionally, Pylance is built on top of an open source static type checking tool called PyWrite. And with PyWrite, this means that we're able to inject embedded and rich type information into tooltips, which can help you write less buggy code because you know how to properly invoke functions, and also lessen the amount of time that you spend looking at external documentation. So once again, before flipping over to VS Code to show you some of those features, I just want to mention that you don't have to do any separate install for Pylance anymore. It's included in the box with the core extension. But if you've previously set a language server, you'll want to just double check that your language server is either set to default or Pylance. So let's talk about writing code.
So I'm going to show VS Code, and Savannah is going to be telling me what to do here. So me as I drive this.
Very collaborative. So first off, let's talk about completions. So Pylance provides completions. You're typing and you hit dot and you see a bunch of suggested functions for you. That I think people are familiar with, but what's new here is that in the tooltip attached to the completions list, you can see this function signature, which includes that rich type information that I just mentioned. So that kind of helps Luciana know how she could use this function. So she's going to click that, and now she'll see that as she's typing, there's this signature help, which has the same information as in that tooltip and also moves to the each parameter that she passes in, which helps her keep track of what things she's passed in already. So that's kind of helpful, especially for those really like long functions that come from data science modules. The next thing I want to highlight is that Pylance has a really special kind of completion called an auto-import completion. And so auto-import completions basically allow you to use completions from modules that you haven't yet imported into your file. So whether those be third-party modules you've installed in your virtual environment or standard library modules. And so here, Luciana's looking at that pandas import, and she can clearly see an import statement that will be added to the top of her file for her when she selects this. So this means that she doesn't have to go to the top of the file, start typing, and figure out how to import it. Pylance will do that for her. And what's interesting about this particular feature is that if Luciana had already imported that module and chose to import another submodule from that module, Pylance is smart enough to actually append that list in alphabetical order so that there's not like a ton of clutter at the top of the list by the time she's done editing. However, I will mention that this is a pretty contentious feature, and there's, you know, you either love it or you hate it. And so Pylance is pretty flexible. You can choose to disable auto imports, or you can also use this other way to add imports called an add import code action. So Luciana can see here, she had that little squiggle on top of PD because she hadn't yet imported it. She deleted that import statement that we'd added. And now she can see a bunch of suggestions for things that she can add to the top of her file. So this gives her a bit more control. And if you're not into auto imports, this might be a good option for you. Similarly, we have a remove import code action. And she can see at the top, she has this IO module imported, but it's kind of grayed out. And that's because Pylance does dead code detection. So Pylance is smart enough to say, hey, this isn't being used in the file. And we also do that for unreachable blocks of code, which can help you catch edge cases. And so she just removed it using that remove import code action. Moving kind of on in the editing experience, doc strings are something that are pretty important for people when they're writing code, especially if you don't want to have to go look at external docs. So Pylance provides those. We've put a lot of work into making these really readable and formatting them really nicely. So that's one really, really nice feature that I think is super useful. Personally, I spend a lot of time like kind of prototyping and hacking stuff together. And sometimes by the time I'm done writing code, it's pretty like ugly and I have to do a bunch of refactoring. So we've added these refactoring code actions into Pylance, which allow Luciana to extract variables and extract methods in her code to clean things up. And so she can highlight blocks of code and select and extract the method and then also rename it however she like. Pylance also provides code navigation. If she goes to def on that generate word cloud, she'll be brought to the user-defined definition of that function. And then if she also chooses to go to definition on a submodule or a class imported from a third party module, she can also do that really speedily with Pylance. So that's kind of like when you're writing code, those are like your editing features. And then I like to think of, there's also features in Pylance that help you when you're reading code. And I think that's kind of the undersold part of the editing experience where, you know, you're opening a new code base for the first time, you're not really familiar with it. And so Pylance provides two really nice features to help you along in that process. So the first is contextual highlighting. So if Luciana clicks a symbol in her file, she'll see all of the other instances where that is used, which can help her kind of parse through how things are being passed in. And then lastly, we have this thing called semantic highlighting, which is a feature I think that's probably my favorite in Pylance. And that basically is an extension of syntax highlighting, which adds Pylance generates these semantic tokens that certain themes that accept and understand these semantic tokens can use to apply different colors to different keywords to help augment the visualization of your code and also help you understand it better. So in this case, you see that modules and submodules are basically this orange, yellow color, and then variables are red, functions are blue, string literals are green, and so on. And so this just really enhances like the readability of your code. And I'll get Luciana to just toggle to the dark theme that's built into VS Code that doesn't support semantic tokens, just so you can see the difference. And so just like right off the bat, you can see you've lost so much meaning. For me, this is now super off-putting now that I'm using Pylance, but I really think that the semantic highlighting is awesome. So just to kind of reiterate, you can use you need to use a theme that supports semantic tokens. So that would be something like the dark plus or light plus themes, or the one that Luciana is using, which is One Dark Pro, and you can install that from the marketplace as well. So that's kind of the overview of the Pylance features. I'm going to get Luciana to flip back to the deck. So there is a feature summary here. You can screenshot it and kind of revisit it. If you want to know more, you can also go to our GitHub release repo to read more about Pylance features. And then kind of two last things I want to talk about in terms of enhancing your productivity. Pylance is also compatible with other extensions other than the core Python extension for VS Code, the first being IntelliCode, which is basically an extension that prioritizes your completions based on your specific code context. So you can see there's all those little stars next to certain completions, and those are basically brought to the top of the list to help you find them more easily and save time. And then the other extension that is Pylance compatible is Jupyter Notebooks, which is really great for those data science use cases. I'm not going to go too much into this today, but if you're interested in writing typed Python or you're already writing typed Python, Pylance comes with a built-in type checker called PyRate. It powers our analysis engine, and you can enable that using the basic or strict type checking modes. By default, you'll only see kind of like syntax errors and invalid code and undefined variables in the off type checking mode. But if you enable the basic or strict mode, we apply more rules to your code base. You'll get a bunch of diagnostics, errors, and warnings on your code that can help you find more edge cases. So if you're interested in that, I'd suggest starting with basic just to give it a shot. And if you're already writing typed Python, I would recommend the strict type checking mode. So that's kind of the Pylance overview. I'm going to hand it to Luciana to talk about polishing your code.
Thank you, Savannah. I'm going to open VS Code here again, and I'm going to show you how you can use other features of the Python extension to keep working on your code. And in this case, I'm going to want to make this look prettier because, you know, there's like you have to scroll to the sides to be able to see my code and everything. I don't love it. So I'm going to show how you can format your code with the Python extension. So I'm going to right click here on the editor, and I'm going to click on Format Document. And once I do so, the Python extension will notify me, asking me if I want to use AutoPuppet or if I want to use other frameworks. So I'm going to use Black because that is my favorite formatter personally. And once I click on that, the Python extension will install the formatter here for me. One thing to note is that the Python extension will install the formatter on the selected environment on your workspace. So if this is not an environment you want to be using for your project, you want to click here and select a different one. And you can just scroll down from the ones that the Python extension finds for you, but you can also enter a specific path here, or you can browse on your file system to select right environment. And this is actually important for Pylance as well, because Pylance uses the packages installed in that environment to provide you all the analysis that it does. So keep that in mind. Since Black is now installed, I can right-click and click on Format Document to have my code formatted. And here we go, much prettier. Yay. Cool. So that's great for formatting my code. I did some refactoring and everything. I want to test out to run my code to make sure it's still working. This application that we're working on is a Flask application. So I will want to configure the debugger to run this app, and I'm going to show how you can do this. So I'm going to click here on the Run and Debug view in VS Code, and then I can see that there is this Create and Launch JSON file link. A launch JSON file is nothing but a configuration file for your debugger. So once I click on it, it will ask me what kind of application I'm trying to debug. I'm doing Flask, so that's what I'm going to select. But you can see that we have support for Django, FastAPI, and even Pyramid for web apps. And if you want to just debug a single Python file, that's where you go. And these are a few other options that we have. Cool. So I'm going to select Flask, and then it's going to ask me to give the path to the application. This is basically the value that is going to be assigned for my Flask app variable. If app UI is on the top root of your workspace, it will automatically configure for you. But in my case, it's actually under this file, web app, that is in the logo app folder. So I'm going to write that down and hit enter. And here we go. We have this configuration file that my debugger is going to use to debug my app. So I'm going to go ahead and click on this play button. I can also start the debugger by hitting F5. And once it finishes debugging, I'm going to have the link for my application that I'll be able to access and run this. And I'm going to quickly show you how simple this app is. it will just display an image, which is basically a word cloud. So let me open that. And it's loading. Ooh. Okay. It will take some time because it needs to generate a figure, but that's it. That's very simple, as you can see. But that's basically my application. And it seems I'm struggling with tabbing here. Okay, cool. We're back here. So I'm going to add a few breakpoints to my views.py file so I can inspect how my code is behaving. So actually, let me close this, go back to the browser, request again. And you can see that VS Code is blinking because it has hit the breakpoint. And as I am stepping over, you can see that my variables are going to be here populating this local variable window. I can hover over to see it. I can actually edit values as well if I'm trying to evaluate the behavior of my code with like this temporary change here. So that's pretty cool. I can also add watch expressions to watch as I'm going with my code. So that's pretty cool as well. And then what's also very interesting is that we support template debugging. So here, if I step into my code, it would actually open the indexed HTML file and I can inspect my code here. So we have support for template debugging as well, which is pretty cool. Awesome. So let me add a few other breakpoints here, because another feature that I wanted to show that is really cool for the debugger are conditional breakpoints. So if I right click on a breakpoint, I can click here on edit breakpoint and I can add an expression that will cause the debugger to stop only when that expression is met. So for example, if I'm in a loop and then I really want to evaluate the behavior of my loop when my I variable hits like the value of 5, I can do that here. In this case, I can do, I don't know, if the length of the URL is greater than 10. And once I hit once I request here again, you will be able to see that it will stop here because the condition is met. And then if it's not, it will not stop on that. So that's pretty handy as well. And then another feature, and this one is actually my favorite one that I wanted to show, is jump to cursor. So sometimes I forget to hit breakpoints and then I start my debugger. It goes through a lot of lines. It takes forever to load like data or generate images or do some very expensive analysis. And then it hits a breakpoint that I had set and I'm like, oh no, I should have added a breakpoint before. And now it's too late. I need to restart the debugger and wait for this all over again because, you know, I forgot to set one little breakpoint to a line previously. So that's pretty painful. But what's nice about this feature is that you don't have to restart the debugger and recalculate things again. You can actually set what is the next point for your debugger. So here, for example, you're already past this block of code, but if I right-click and I go to jump to cursor, it will redefine what is the next execution, next line to be executed by the debugger. And here it's cool because I can step over, but if I want to skip that definition for max path, I can right-click again and jump to cursor. So I can like skip the lines and play around what is the debugger is going to execute. So it gives me that nice sense of control over the debugger. So that's great. Cool. And now we test our application. It seems to be working fine, but this is not the best way to test applications as we know. So the Pythonization also supports PyTest and unit tests for when you're writing tests for your apps. So I'm going to show you how you can configure your tests with the Python extension. So I'm going to open the command palette. And if you're familiar with the command palette, I guess it's one of my favorite features of VS Code. But if you're not, you can open it by hitting Ctrl Shift P if you're on Windows. And if you're on Mac, it's Command Shift P. And I'm going to run the command from the Python extension that is called Python configure tests. So if I click here, I can select PyTest. And then it's going to ask me where is the directory that has my tests. So if I click, this is actually under the root directory. So I'm going to select that. Cool. And once you do so, the Python extension will try to discover your tests. And then it will open a test beaker here for you. This is going to take a little bit longer because I'm projecting my screen. But one thing that is key for me to show you here is that this is a Flask application, so I had to set up a pytest.ini file so that PyTest understands this is like a Flask tests. So basically, I just provided the value for my Flask app, where my tests are, and asked me to give no warnings. Cool. And I had to hit that play button, and you can see that there's a lot of errors here. Something bad is going on. I can click to a test here to see what's wrong, and we can see that this telling me that this test is failing. And I can actually go here to see what's going on. I can actually set breakpoints and debug the tests as well to investigate what's happening. But this test here fails on purpose. So I just need to change this here to string, and this will fix my tests. Cool. So it will rediscover, and then I'll be able to run my tests again and to see if the fix actually worked. And right now, this we have this UI currently, but we are going to make a change for our Test Explorer quite soonish. So this is something we're excited to work on to make this even nicer and better support for testing for our users. So very excited about that as well. And these are the main features that I want to show you from the Python extension. I'm going to go back to the deck. And just a reminder, this is what we covered. You saw how you can change the interpreter on your workspace. You saw how you can format your code, use a debugger, and a lot of cool debugger features that we have here. And we also saw how you can configure your tests. So that's basically what we had to show to you all. If you want to get started with everything that we showed here today, you can go to that link to install the Python extension. Starting this week, it comes with the PyLens extension, so you also get all the goodies that Savannah showed today. And then I guess that's it. We will be able to answer questions.
That was fantastic. So I am personally new. I'm a noob. I'm a beginner to Python, and it's awesome to see that enhanced experience that this is going to provide to someone, especially like myself, the experience that I have, let alone people that are very experienced in Python. So well done to you all and the team for all that fun stuff. So question for you, Luciana, right off the bat from, it was Fuel in chat. So we believe this is in regards to debugging. So that's why I think it's for you. Does edit and continue work when debugging in Python?
That's a good question. We have a feature that we actually call code reload, because I guess in the technical aspects, it's not exactly the same as edit and continue. But from the like experience you have, it's kind of the same. We are experimenting, it's actually on beta now, but we are, I guess I would love to get you all to try it and give us feedback if this is working for you or not. If you add a configuration to the debug a Python file, so here I click on add configuration, Python, and then Python file, we have this flag that you can select, that you can define, that is auto reload, and then you can enable it. And what this will do is to basically on your every change you make, the debugger will capture them automatically. So just to give an idea of what this happens if you don't have that defined as of now. If I debug this file and then I hit a breakpoint, for example, here, and then I make a change anywhere here, like I change this to blah, I don't know. The debugger will not pick that up because it started with the previous code that you had. With this new definition for auto reload, the debugger will reload the code and it will pick up your change. So you don't need to restart your debugger on changes. So yes, this is available in the latest version of the Python extension. We're still experimenting with it, making sure things are stable. So if you want to try it out, if you see any bugs, you can file them on our repo, and that will help us a lot to keep working on this feature. I hope that answers the question.
I'm back. Hi. This is the beauty of live events and internet drop.
I think Brian's frozen, but I don't want to say anything. Maybe he's just really happy. You're frozen smiling.
Gotcha.
I was impressed with this feature.
I just was staring at the camera.
Yeah. Take us from the
top. Anyway, so I have a question for you as well, Luciana. So when you showed the jump to cursor, is that like, and you at that point in time in your demo, you had already went to a new line past that previous line, right? So is that essentially like you're able to, is it restarting and going back to there? Or are you like time traveling and getting, jumping back into that stack trace, I guess, at that point?
That's a very good question. It's not actually time traveling, because on time traveling, you actually like go back to the state of your code, right? So every change that was made, you kind of revert that, right? In this case, this is not it. It's just going to redefine what is the next execution for the debugger. So all the states are remaining the same as to that point that you are in. It just really is going to tell the debugger, okay, but now I want you to execute that line next instead of going down, if that makes sense. So not really time travel debugging, but it's really still useful if you're really trying to set what the debugger is going to execute next.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I was pretty impressed. I mean, all of it I was impressed with, but that I was like, whoa, that's neat. Neato. Excellent. So question, Savannah, I think for you this time that I have. So recently, again, I'm a beginner and new. It's awesome to see this stuff. My colleague Cecil and I, we've been pair programming on a Python project, and we started using type hinting, I believe it's called, where you put in like colon and then the type of that, what that variable should be. And what we noticed where us being new and beginners is if, even though we put that, we weren't getting a warning of like, if we assign that to like a different type. So like we had our own data class that we were using. Mm-hmm. And if we assigned it to like a string instead of that data class kind of value, that object, then it wouldn't tell us. And we'd have to wait until runtime and execution time, basically, yeah, to see that that was a result. With some of the, I think you were mentioning it, but I want to be sure that I'm understanding correctly, the type checking mode, that analysis, is that what, if I turn that on, that's going to help catch those types of issues earlier on in my development workflow. Is that correct?
Yeah. So by default, the type checking mode is set to off. So we're only going to flag things that like aren't going to run, basically. In basic mode, we take some of Pywrite's type checking rules and apply it to your code. And I think there's a variety of severities. You could have like warnings or errors in your code, and that'll come up in the basic mode. And there's an extensive list of that documented if you're interested, because you can also enable, disable certain rules if you don't find it useful. And so there's that level of granularity as well. And then also strict mode, which is like, if you're extremely invested in writing typed Python, every rule that produces any diagnostic or any error and warning or code applied at the highest level of severity. So every type error will come up as a red squiggly, which can be pretty off-putting for people who are just getting started, which is why I kind of recommend that basic mode.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So another question for you in a more high level general, you all mentioned that now Pylance is packaged with the Python extension. So for folks that maybe had Pylance as a separate extension before, what do they need to do maybe to jump into this? Do they need to uninstall that one and then just stick with the latest Python extension for VS Code? How should they approach this?
Yeah, so what we've done is basically bundle Pylance as an optional dependency extension with the core Python extension. They're very tightly coupled. Pylance can't work without the core Python extension. So if you get the latest Python extension update, you will see a little prompt that'll tell you, hey, like Pylance is now bundled with Python. If you've never set a Python language server before, you're going to get Pylance right off the bat. You can also, there's a variety of other language servers out there as well. If you're looking to try those out, you can also do that at any time. But basically, you don't have to do anything is the beauty of it. Yeah, totally optional, but bundled right there for you.
I'm lazy, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, right? Like I'm already trying to manage my extensions and stuff, so it's a little bit more streamlined.
All right, we have a few more minutes. One last question for you, if you can share with folks. I mean, this is all awesome, and it's exciting, and it has me wondering, what's next for Python and VS Code?
Do you want to go first, Savannah?
Well, so I can talk a little bit from the Pylance side. You know, we're my team and I are really excited about our performance. You know, Pylance is really, really speedy and uses really low memory in the process. But that being said, there are still more improvements that we want to do. We want to make the language server even faster. So, you know, we continue to do those, to look into more performance enhancements for completions and user experience improvements for imports. And then without getting into too much details, I think that you can probably look forward to some more advanced refactoring code actions in the not so distant future.
Excellent. That sounds exciting as well.
Yeah.
Even faster?
Even faster. Yeah, exactly.
More speed.
More speed.
Well, thank you both so much, Luciana and Savannah. This was excellent presentation and very exciting stuff. And hope to see you again on here.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. This was awesome.
All right, folks, that does it for this VS Code live event. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for asking the questions in the chat. If you missed it, again, just a reminder, don't worry, it's recorded. It'll be up on the VS Code YouTube channel, youtube.com/code. And also sign up at the meetup, meetup.com. We're on there to help schedule these out so you get a head start and plan ahead for it. Thank you again. Hope you have a good rest of your day wherever you are in the world. Happy coding.